Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
All right, thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setter doing a fabulous job being fabulous. That's his specialty. He is our producer. Also, he's going to take care of the archive shortly thereafter. If you've ever heard an interview on WKOK Sunrise afterward, you can always go to the WKOK podcast page and you'll find that interview posted there. That's part of Rob's great work, so we appreciate that. On the news line with us now, we're glad to say that Michael McGuire is back on the line. Very active local birder around here. Just a stunning photographer and also serves on the Seven Mountains Audubon Society as their webmaster and a secretary and a member, the secretary of the board of directors of the Seven Mountains Audubon Society around here. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for checking back in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
I do appreciate that. When we last spoke, we talked about the deadly affliction killing songbirds that had happened around here and killed off what we'll say is X percentage. We certainly think in the range of maybe 10% of some of the populations of some of the birds. So describe what the issue was and the exact status of that dilemma.
Right. So the issue was earlier this spring, there was this mystery disease that was killing off large numbers of birds. It started in around the D.C. area and Virginia, Maryland, and then quickly spread into the Midwest and the Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, including eventually into our area. And it was causing this odd combination of mystery symptoms with problems with eyes, swelling of the eyes being swollen shut, in some cases blindness, growths around the eyes, neurological symptoms, trouble walking, staggering, general fatigue. So some of these are also overlaps with other bird diseases, but the number, the distribution, the specific combination of symptoms, it really had never been seen before like this. And scientists have done a lot of investigation, and they still don't know why. They've ruled out different kinds of causes of diseases, and they still don't know. So its sudden appearance was a mystery, and the good news is that, at least for now, it seems to have almost as mysteriously suddenly subsided, very dramatically disappeared.
And as a result, when we last spoke, we talked about advisories, not only from the Audubon Society and many others, not to use any kind of bird feeders or bird baths or bird waterers, because the congregation of birds was certainly perceived as having to help spread the disease or what the ailment or the issue. So what's the status of that advisory?
Well, the good news is that it has been lifted, so it's now okay to feed birds. And it's important to note that when the advisory was put in place, it was done out of caution. So we know that there are a large variety of bird diseases that can spread through contact at feeders. So out of caution, because scientists still had not identified a cause, and we knew it wouldn't do any harm, birds don't rely on humans for food, especially in the summer. There's plenty of natural food sources available. Since we knew it wouldn't do any harm and it could help stop the spread, that was the reason for the recommendation. And now, fortunately, since the disease is starting to subside, that recommendation was lifted about 2 weeks ago in our area. But with that, we do still want people to take precautions. Some of these are standard precautions. The only thing that isn't really a standard precaution is we want people to be mindful to keep their bird feeders even cleaner. So it's normally recommended that people clean them about twice a week. With the current recommendation, we're recommending that people do it at least once a week, and also watch for signs of diseases in birds. So if there's signs of obvious symptoms, like lots of birds come into your feeders with swollen eyes, growths around the eyes, then maybe it would be a good idea to remove them for a period of time.
And when I talk about songbirds that died, what species were we talking about? So I'd like that answer, but plus you can kind of segue right into how important some of these individual birds are, not only to our pleasurable watching and feeding opportunities, and but how important they are in our local ecosystems.
So some of the species that were specifically affected by this disease, or still could be in the future, and that's important to point out, we don't know. So the disease could very well come back again. It could come back in a month or two. It could be seasonal. We just don't know. But some of the bird species that specifically were affected very strongly were blue jays, European starlings, common grackles, American robins, cardinals, house finches, eastern bluebirds, red-bellied woodpeckers, chickadees, Carolina wrens, and a couple of the species affected people might notice are invasive species like European starlings and house sparrows, and certainly those are very detrimental. However, most of them were native species, and they all of these different native species, they play a very important role in the ecosystem. And one of the specific reasons for recommending removal of feeders was that many of the species most affected were very common feeder birds.
Okay, how critical are these birds around here? I mean, we certainly have an ecosystem balance that we're trying to keep.
They're very important, and you people might notice on the list, okay, these aren't rare birds at all, and they're not, but because they're so common, that can also mean they're more important, and along with a lot of other birds, many of the species that I'd listed were already experiencing declines because of habitat loss, and in some cases also West Nile virus. So even with a lot of these very common birds, we were already experiencing declines. We don't know for sure what the long-term effect of this disease will be, but it certainly would be bad if it caused further declines in bird populations.
Well, we know some folks have already started to transition their gardens into pollinator-friendly gardens and emphasizing drought-resistant and heat-resistant native species of plants. So let's talk about what does a bird-friendly garden look like?
Right. So this is a great thing that people can do that will help with the ecosystem, and it will also help bring different bird species to people's yards, even a larger variety than you would get just from feeding birds. So if people are interested in specifically what they can do to build a bird-friendly garden, there is this new program that started a couple years ago. It's called Bird Friendly Blooms. It was established by the Pennsylvania Audubon Society to help raise awareness about native plants and gardening, and it involves partnerships between Audubon chapters, garden centers, nurseries, and landscapers. And the goal is to make native plants more accessible to local communities. And it's important to point out that a lot of this isn't difficult at all. And in fact, in some ways, it's actually easier. It can help people save money. It's more efficient and better than having a lawn or traditional landscaping. So people might think that, a lawn, a nice lawn looks nice, but when you look at what it costs to maintain a lawn and some of the other things that often go with it, spraying pesticides, herbicides, the maintenance costs and the effect on the environment aren't very good, and it's also just a use of space that could be better used for things like building wildlife habitat, attracting native birds. And it's important to note that when we're talking about native plants, which are not just good for birds, but all different kinds of species, in the context of birds, it's not just for feeding, it's helping create a habitat. So it's also for things like nesting sites, nesting materials, cover, providing a home for other insects that birds would feed on, for example. So all of this is integrated and goes together. And if people are more interested in the Bird Friendly Blooms program specifically, they are more than welcome to come to our website, and we have lots more information available about that. And actually, in October, we haven't set a date yet, but at some point, we'll be planning a Bird Friendly Blooms demo garden at the Lewisburg Community Garden. And that will be great to showcase people just an example of what a bird-friendly garden could look like. But there's really many, many possibilities, and a lot of the garden plans and native species that are being suggested, there's alternatives to traditional landscaping that can look and function very similar. And in some cases, it functions better because, as I mentioned, there's lower maintenance costs, and these plant species are better suited to our local climate and region.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about on this topic. We're just about out of time. Anything important you'd like to add? You've mentioned the bird-friendly blooms, so that's available. SevenMountainsAudubon.org, the website for you to go to. And we will certainly have you back on prior to the October function, so we'll chat that up a little bit when the time comes and talk about the upcoming bird counts at that time and so on. But an additional remark, what else would you like to wrap up with today, Michael?
I guess I would just mention that we do have regular community events. Anybody's welcome to come, and I would encourage people to come to those. Our next event is a bird walk on September 4th at Dale's Ridge at 8 o'clock. That's our Saturday. We do a first Saturday bird walk. And then we also have a program on September 15th, a presentation. This one will be about birds of the Neotropics, so birds of the Caribbean and also South America and Brazil. So we do monthly bird walks, monthly presentations, and also other events. So I would encourage people to check our Facebook page and also our website.
Where is the presentation in September?
Well, that's a good question. So for now, it's planned to be at the Kelly Township Municipal Building, Kelly Township Supervisor Building in Lewisburg. There are directions to that available on our website. We're also planning to live stream that virtually. Prior to this, we had been just doing virtual presentations because of COVID. At this point, we're still planning to also have the physical location, but of course, things could change in the next few weeks, so we haven't made that decision yet.
All right, well, we'll stay tuned with that, and we'll announce it when the time comes, and we'll get some more details on these and add them to our community calendar that everybody can download at WKOK.com. Michael, thank you so much for your information, keeping us up to date about this. In a month or so, we'll check back in, and we'll talk about some of the events that are on the calendar. Thank you, sir.
Yep, that sounds great. Thanks again.
That is Michael McGuire. He's very active with the Seven Mountains Audubon Society around here. That's the local regional one. It happens to be their webmaster, their secretary of the board. And, of course, you have to be a member of the board to do that. So he is that very active local birder. We've been talking to him about the mystery disease that remains a mystery to scientists at this time. SevenMountainsAudubon.org.